This last week, our nation, in fact, most of the world, recalled that day 75 years ago when 155 American, British, French, and other allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy. June 6, 1944, D-Day. It was a glorious day, but it was also a terrible day. Many of the companies in the first wave of the invasion had a 90% or higher casualty rate. Overall, that day, 10,000 Allies and 9,000 Germans were killed or wounded. And the survivors were scarred by the horrific memories forever. Horrible. But then you realize that most of these men knew that they had a good chance of dying that day before they ever hit the beach. But they went forward anyway. Who would do that? Who would jump out of a perfectly good plane or leap out of a landing craft into crashing waves in order to submit themselves to a hail of bullets and bombs going off all around you? You'd have to be either crazy or enormously brave. They were not crazy. They were, in fact, some of the bravest men who ever lived. And it leaves us standing in wonder and reverence. Think about that. I think about that and I wonder if I would ever have that kind of courage. If I could ever not so much jump into a firestorm or bullets to defend my country, but knowingly and willingly suffer even a horrible death as a martyr for Jesus, the church, and you. I don't know if I could do that. I'm not that brave. In fact, most of us aren't that brave. But then I look back at Pentecost. And I look back at a bunch of frightened men and women who had locked themselves in an upper room 2,000 years ago. They were very much afraid of being brutally tortured and killed, but they didn't have to go into battle. They could just choose to hide. And they did. But then 50 days later, these same men and women threw open the doors and went out into the crowds and proclaimed the truth that could subject them to automatic death from the authorities. Of course, I'm talking about the apostles and the first disciples of Jesus, who were quivering cowards on Good Friday, but were courageous preachers on Pentecost. And the difference was the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. That, my friends, is what the Holy Spirit does. It lifts up normal, weak, and frightened human beings and makes them into heroic saints with the courage to rush in where angels fear to tread. This is the Holy Spirit that descended on the church at Pentecost. And this is the Holy Spirit that descended on you in your baptism and was strengthening you in a powerful way in confirmation. Would you be willing to storm the beach in Normandy? Maybe some of you would. In fact, I know a lot of you are war heroes yourselves. Thank you for your service. But most of us couldn't even begin to dream about doing that. But if you could storm the beach in Normandy for love of family and country, would you be willing to suffer as much for Jesus and His church? Could you even simply stand up for the church and Jesus in the common things of everyday, ordinary life? Think of that. Do you have the courage to live the Christian life every day, even when we're not threatened with martyrdom or direct physical harm? Maybe you're tempted to sin. Do you have the courage to say no to that sin? Or maybe at work or school, someone is insulting to the faith or even blaspheming Jesus himself, do you have the courage to simply disagree? You may be afraid, but the thing is, we don't have to do this on our own. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of all the baptized in the fullness of his strength with all the confirmed. We have the same power of the Holy Spirit that enabled Peter to go from denying Jesus on Good Friday to throwing open the doors on Pentecost and standing out as a spokesman for all the apostles, to men who wanted him dead. That same power is inside of you. And amazing as it sounds, and with all due respect and deference, that power is even greater than it took to be a hero on D-Day. This is the power of God that can and does intervene even dramatically in the life of every Christian, going back to the life of Christ himself. We go back, for example, to the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember how Jesus, in his humanity, was so overcome with fear and sorrow as he could see not only the terrible physical suffering that was coming within hours, but also he could see how it would all be wasted on so many who would simply reject his salvation. He was so overwhelmed by all this, and Scripture tells us that he actually sweat blood and even asked his Father to find another way. But then he concluded, "Not my will, but your will be done." And then he got up, resolute and peaceful, and endured scourging, mocking, spittle, the crown of thorns, carrying the cross up the hill, and gasping for air and bleeding to death, hanging on the cross for 3 hours. Imagine the courage that it took to do that. Even greater courage than landing on Omaha Beach. There, at least, you had a chance of survival. But it wasn't simply human courage that led Jesus forward. It was human and divine courage that came together in the one person of Jesus, God the Son. The power of God. And it didn't stop there. Think how even death couldn't defeat that divine power. So that on the third day, he rose up, breaking the bonds of death forever. This is the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of his Father. This is the power that came into the church at Pentecost in a dramatic way. The upper room was filled with a loud wind and tongues of fire, and they were all filled with the courage to throw open the doors. And this is the power that came to you in baptism and confirmation and that remains in the church and in the faithful every day. This power has shown itself in many ways throughout the history of the church. In large and small ways, dramatic and subtle ways. Today, you can look up at that wall and see a dramatic example of that power that took place actually on another beach. We remember how St. Raymond of Peñafort had traveled to the island of Mallorca with the King of Spain to preach to the Muslims, but there he discovered that his friend the king had brought a mistress along. And filled with the Holy Spirit, St. Raymond courageously chastised the king for his adultery and stormed out to go back to Spain. And when the king closed all the ships in the port to St. Raymond, Raymond, filled with confidence in the power of Jesus, simply went down to the beach, said a prayer, made a sign of the cross, and stepped on one end of his great cape. And the great cape became filled with the wind of the Holy Spirit, like the wind on Pentecost, and he sailed straight across the sea, 160 miles, back to Spain. That was not human courage. That was the power of the Holy Spirit that not only filled his cape with wind, but filled his heart with confidence and courage, enabling St. Raymond to step out in the water and not look down and not look back. That painting, that mural, will always remind us not only of the holiness of our great patron, but also of the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, acting in each and every one of us. And of course, we need that power in a special way today. We know that there are huge problems in the church. We're in need of great, courageous, and faithful leaders. And we're equally in need of courageous and faithful followers who are willing, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to stand up in charity and respect, to speak and demand the truth. And also to support those leaders who, also filled with the Holy Spirit, truly seek to renew the Church of Jesus Christ. Not by tearing down the church and not by building up some sort of new church, but by cleaning out the filth that has been accumulated by those who have not been open to the Holy Spirit, but rather who have followed the evil spirit. There are, of course, lots of obstacles to this renewal. It seems to many that we're talking about an impossible task, but then again, think back to the apostles. In the beginning of that first Pentecost day, when they woke up, there were only about a couple hundred Christians. But by the end of the day, there were 3,000 more Christians in one day. And now today, there are 2 billion around the world, not to mention all those who have gone before us in the faith for the last 2,000 years. Yes, I know the problems today seem insurmountable, but the power of evil and the power of the evil one seem insurmountable. But imagine that you are a soldier about to land on Omaha Beach in 1944. Imagine what you were thinking. You know, what could I do against the power of the mighty German Wehrmacht that had already conquered all of Europe and was being manipulated and driven by the truly evil Adolf Hitler? What could you do? But in the end, in spite of many casualties, the victory was theirs. But it was not theirs alone. I firmly believe that God was on their side. Now, last week, I indulged a little bit and watched some movies that, you know, of that time, some of the great movies that record D-Day. One of those movies was The Longest Day. It had just like every heroic actor in the 1950s and 60s had a part in that. It's a great movie about D-Day. And in that movie, The Longest Day, in 2 separate scenes, in one an American general and the other a German general, say to their subordinates, "I wonder whose side God is on." Just, now it may sound, you know, again, kind of parochial, or maybe just typically American, but clearly we know whose side God was on that day. Just think about all the things that had to go right for us and wrong for them. If you know anything about the story, it's really amazing. Which wouldn't be a surprise to us, because we were fighting to end the tyranny of a homicidal, genocidal tyrant who was trying to take over the world. God was on their side, and they won. And God is clearly on our side today, yours and mine. By the action of the Holy Spirit, He can and will give us the courage and the wisdom to truly purify and renew ourselves and His church. As we continue now more deeply into the mystery of this Holy Mass, let us recognize the power of God may manifest on our altar, as by the command of Jesus and by the action of the Holy Spirit, the bread and wine are transformed into the body and blood truly of Jesus. And as you receive his body, may it strengthen and renew that divine power that is already within us. Power made manifest in the cross, resurrection, ascension, and Pentecost. Power made manifest in the history of the world. And power made manifest in every moment in the everyday lives of every single Christian. Praise be Jesus Christ.